Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is changing your perception. Each of my guests is changing our perception about his or her subject. My next guest is one of the country's top leadership coaches to corporate CEOs. He's distilled his knowledge on concentration and execution into a simple system. We'll discuss that system in his book, 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distraction, and Get the Right Things Done. And if you want to join in the conversation, or if you want to ask a question, call us at 639-0008. And I'll also give away another pizza. We've got a medium-sized two-topping pizza from Cordella's Pizza here in Ventura. That's 1700 East Thompson Boulevard. I'll give that away to the very first caller that calls in, 639-0008. Call in, and the pizza is yours. Peter Bregman is a strategic advisor to CEOs and their leadership teams. He began his teaching leadership on wilderness and mountaineering expeditions with Outward Bound and the National Outdoor Leadership School. He moved into the consulting field with Hay Group and Accenture. Peter founded Bregman Partners, a global management consulting firm, in 1998. He's the author of 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distractions, and Get the Right Things Done, and also Point B, a short guide to leading a big change. Peter is a regular contributor to the Harvard Business Review, Fast Company, Forbes, National Public Radio, Psychology Today, and CNN. He earned his BA from Princeton University and his MBA from Columbia University. Joining us from New York. Hi, Peter. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I am terrific. Thank you so much for being my guest today, and also thank you for writing the book, because I need your book. I started out today, I woke up, I walked into my office, and I had a pretty good idea of what I thought I wanted to accomplish for the day. I opened up my email, and I was just bombarded with emails. Mostly the emails were other people's problems, and then after firefighting these problems, I realized much of the morning was gone, and I really hadn't accomplished anything. Your book, 18 Minutes, was born out of a similar frustration. It actually started as an article in the Harvard Business Review, and it generated a lot of buzz. What is it about your idea on focus that resonates with people like me?
You know, I think we're living in a world that's very different than the world that existed 10 or 15 years ago. The opportunities for distraction, the needs, other people's needs that you described, you know, the emails, the BlackBerrys, the texts, the IMs, the tweets, the amount of data and information that is flying at us and asking for our attention has expanded enormously. And, you know, we don't quite know how to deal with it very well without getting sucked into it. And as you say, you know, you go start your email expecting to spend 5 minutes on it, and you emerge 3 years later. I think we're just living in a very different time that we haven't quite learned how to handle yet.
Well, that is so true. I love your analogy. It does seem like 3 years later when you get through all of that. Well, the thing that I liked about your methodology, it starts with a big picture and then it kind of works its way down to the specifics. It's very, very simple, but the key is to block out distractions and concentrate on what's important. So take us through the methodology, starting with the big picture, if you will, Peter.
Thanks. You know, 18 Minutes is broken out into four sections, but the three main pieces of it are: what is your year about, what is your day about, and what is your moment about? And you know, I like to sort of say that most time management books start too late and end too early, so they help us figure out how to organize our work. But before we and they also, one of the big foci is, how do you get everything done? And I feel like actually getting everything done is a big mistake, that we can't possibly get everything done, and when we try, the wrong things fall through the cracks. So the first thing that we can do is understand, what is the year about? What is it that what is important to us? What do we really want to accomplish? I look at my top five areas of focus for the year. I scope those out at the beginning of the year, and I decide, these are the areas I really want to spend 95% of my time on. And that sets the stage for me. My to-do list is broken out into six boxes. One box for each of those five areas, and then a sixth box called the other 5%, because there's always things that you have to do that's outside your main areas of focus. And so every single day, all of my tasks, everything that I have to do, flows through this to-do list that forces me to spend my time where I most want to spend my time. So when you talk about the big picture, for me, that's the big picture that sets up my day for success.
Well, I liked your book, Peter, because it did start out with that other section that you didn't really talk about, which is pause. And mm-hmm. where you really, this is where I fail consistently, is to take time out to really look at things as they are and to evaluate them, to sort of get a situational analysis of what we are there. So, and what I liked about your book is it starts there. You got to start with a pause. You've got to take time to figure out what it is you want to do, see the world as it is. But then you say, and this is the part that I'd like you to expand on, we have to expand our view of ourselves. What do you mean by that?
You know, it's amazing to me. First of all, I love that you loved that section, and I sometimes pass over it, but I had it in there for a reason, which is that I do think it is hard to make any change without slowing down our momentum, without stopping for a minute and saying, hey, what am I doing? Because we're on such automatic mode. We walk into the office, we turn on the computer, we go into our email, and like you say, the rest of our day can't be, you know, is we're being thrown around by whatever happens to be thrown at us. So expanding our view of ourselves means that we have certain expectations and we follow through with those expectations. And it's really useful to stop for a minute and say, what's happening? Is it working? Am I doing what I want to be doing? Am I being who I most want to be? And taking those moments to stop for a second and really look clearly at what exists. And also to begin to really look at, are we using our best talents? You know, the danger is most of us end up ignoring or minimizing our strengths because we don't necessarily want to stand out in a way that's going to turn other people off. We try to fix our weaknesses because we're embarrassed about them and think that they're dysfunction. We try to fit in order to sort of not stand out and kind of, you know, feel good about being culturally accepted. And we take our passions and we push them off to, you know, something that maybe I could focus on the weekend, but it's not really how you build a life. And my view in terms of expanding our view of ourselves is to really try to reverse that, to really leverage our strengths and understand what makes you particularly talented and to celebrate and go out there and do that. To take your weaknesses and instead of trying to fix them, find a way to put yourself in a situation where your weakness is a strength or at least doesn't get in your way. To actually be different. You know, when we try to minimize our differences and fit in, all we're doing is increasing our pool of competition. We're looking like everybody else, and so suddenly you can't decide who you really want to be with. If you really want to be successful, you have to do the opposite of fit in. You have to actually stand out, and that requires really accentuating the difference rather than minimizing it. And then doing the things that you love doing anyway, it's impossible not to be successful. So what I really want people to do from a sense of expanding your view of yourself is to work at the intersection of your strengths, weaknesses, differences, and passions. And if you choose your work at that intersection and you choose your life at that intersection, again, you can't help but be fulfilled, happy, and successful.
I love it. Working at the corner of your passions, your strengths, your weaknesses, and your differences. My guest is Peter Bregman. We're talking about his book, 18 Minutes. Now, Peter, if you want to pursue your passions, you really have three things that you have to focus on, and you bring these out in your book. You have to be persistent. You talk about the ease of pursuing your passions and the meaning of pursuing your passions. Elaborate on that a little bit more for people who might be reluctant to go for it.
You know, it's funny because a lot of times we don't really want to work on things that come easy to us because we feel like in order to really succeed, we have to do things that actually are a little hard. And we work against ourselves. We work against ourselves in so many different ways. So, you know, a lot of people, when you say, what is it that I should spend my time working on? I don't even really know what I'm passionate about. Need some help in finding that out. And I try to do that in that section of the book. And some of the ways in which you can really figure that out is if something comes easy to you, it's probably because you've done it a lot. You don't realize, but you've practiced it a tremendous amount. You know, my middle daughter is an unbelievable gymnast. She just, you know, she just jumps and climbs. And you can look at that and say, wow, she, you know, is really naturally talented. But if, like me, you've known her since she was a baby, she started pulling herself up on things, you know, at the age of like 8 months. And then anytime there's anything that she can hold on to that's about eye level or above, she will jump, lunge, grab, and climb it. And she's been doing that all her life. So even though she's only six, it looks like she's talented. In fact, she's just practiced it all her life because she loves it so much. And so, you know, there's ways of finding our passions that are right under our nose because we naturally gravitate towards those things, and if we naturally gravitate towards them, you know, those are the things that we're going to tend to persist on the most, work through the difficulties. You know, she'll climb something that's really hard to climb and go at it over and over and over again and fall and hurt herself and then climb back up because she loves doing it. Those are great indicators that this is an area that you should be spending more time in your life doing.
We're talking to Peter Bregman, author of the book 18 Minutes. And Peter, you mentioned it earlier, your book is broken down into certain parts. The middle part is, what is this day about? And you've got two tips in there that are just dynamite. So I want you to talk about the power of a beep. What do you mean by that? And how can that be so important and one of your 18 minutes in the day?
You know, it's amazing to me. Thank you for asking about that. It's amazing how a tiny little thing can make such a huge difference. So, you know, you think you have to completely focus and organize yourself and be a completely different person. But this beep has worked wonders for me. And I set my watch to beep every hour. And when it beeps, I take a deep breath and I ask myself two questions. Am I doing what I most need to be doing right now? And am I being who I most want to be right now? Those are the two questions that I ask myself. And those questions become a touchstone throughout my day. And I'm able to stop for a minute. It's nothing when you think about how we waste minutes. A minute is nothing. And yet, it's an incredibly luxurious amount of time when you actually stop for that minute. And you stop for that minute, and you take a deep breath, and you ask yourself those two questions, and it's a reminder to get back on track. It's a gently moving your attention back to where you most want your attention to be.
And it's a very powerful tip. Peter, the other part in there is you were talking about how you use your calendar, how you use your to-do list. Talk to me about the 3-day rule, please.
So I used to have things on my to-do list that were months old.
Sure.
They were just sitting there, and my to-do list would get longer and longer. And it actually, I began to call it my guilt list instead of my to-do list because it didn't represent things I was about to do. It just represented things I wanted to do that I kind of knew I would never get to. And hidden amongst those were things that I actually wanted to and needed to do. So I set up this rule for myself, and I said, I will look at everything that's more than 3 days old, and I will do one of three things with it. I will either do it immediately, right, just do it. And sometimes things that were on my list that had sat there for months actually took 3 minutes to do, a quick email shooting out to somebody. So the things I could do immediately, I did immediately. Then I asked myself, if I wasn't willing to do it immediately, am I willing to schedule it for some time in the future? It could be 6 months, a year from now, any time. Am I willing to put it on my calendar and say, I will do this at this point? If the answer to that was yes, I would choose a time, I would take it off my to-do list and put it in my calendar. If I wasn't willing to either do it right away or put it in my calendar, then I take it off my to-do list. I admit to myself that it's not something I'm going to get done, and I just delete it. And, you know, sometimes if I'm afraid to delete it, I'll put it on my list called Someday Maybe, which I usually delete in a couple of months, but it just gives me some confidence knowing that I'm not getting rid of it and losing it right away.
My guest is Peter Bregman. I love that, Peter. Now, the third part of your book is What Is This Moment About? And Mastering Distractions and so forth. And this I found interesting. You assert that we need less motivation than we think. So how can we avoid the need for motivation altogether?
You know, motivation is not a very useful tool. It's not reliable. It weakens in the afternoons. It's not something that you really want to put a lot of emphasis on. And I realized that actually our need for it is much less. I realized this when I went on a bike ride and it was pouring rain and I had my bike and I'm in New York City and I'm standing under my awning and I'm thinking, do I really want to do this? I mean, it's pouring rain. I'm going to get sopping wet. And eventually, it took me a few minutes, but eventually I got out. And for the first minute or two, it was unpleasant. And after that, I had this very invigorating hour-long ride. And someone said to me after that, you know, wow, you're really motivated to get out in the rain like that. And I thought about it. I thought, you know, my answer was, you know what, I'm not motivated at all. I only needed to be motivated for the 30 seconds it took for me to get outside. Once I was outside, I wasn't every 5 minutes going, I don't know, should I still be riding? Maybe I should stop. Maybe I should go home now. I didn't need the motivation. I was out. Momentum had taken me. So mostly we need the motivation for very, very short amounts of time and in short little spurts. And knowing that is really useful. So if I have to write something and I'm having a hard time writing, I could sit down at my computer and I could say, you know what? I need my motivation right now. I'm going to write for 5 minutes. And I'm going to give my permission to stop after 5 minutes. But I'm not going to force myself to stop. I rarely, if ever, stop, because once I've gotten into it, I'm into it, and I don't need motivation to continue. I've got momentum.
The greatest momentum of all. That is great. My guest is Peter Bregman, author of the book 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distractions, and Get the Right Things Done. Peter, if people like the sound of your voice, they like what they hear, where would you direct them to go on the internet to learn more?
If they want to go to peterbregman.com, P-E-T-E-R-B-R-E-G-M-A-N, peterbregman.com. A lot of my writing is up there. You can access more information about 18 Minutes. I've got some video up there, so it's a nice place to go.
All right, Peter. It has been a delight having you as my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you.